Spotlight. This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on BRICS cooperation for mobilizing private capital and financing development. The participants are Jitendra Kumar Tripathi, former ambassador, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
I'm joined by former ambassador Jitendra Kumar Tripathi, and today we would be discussing about BRICS cooperation for mobilizing private capital and financing development. And this is in the context of the keynote addressed by the Union Minister for Finance and Corporate Affairs, Nirmala Sitharaman, who was in the company of central bank governors at Jaipur. Sir, a warm welcome to you on this very important discussion.
Thank you very much.
Tripathiji, BRICS is a multilateral bank, and it's very important that this bank is back in the news. So tell us about its role in terms of de-risking investments, enhancing project bankability, and strengthening investor confidence purely as a bank for nations.
As a total, public participation in the BRICS has been quite low, has been 27-28%, because most of the big countries like China, Russia, they have major share in the developmental projects or activities is taken by the government, by the public sector. Whereas in India, it is 26-27% public sector and the rest private sector, and other countries also vary. So the problem here is that first, there is no major participation of private sector in developmental activities of the BRICS countries. And the reason being, first, availability of funds. There is not much fund available from private sector in many countries. When I say many countries, like in Egypt, in Ethiopia, even in Iran, there is not much fund available. Wherever the fund is available, like countries in India, in Indonesia, in South Africa, in Brazil, even there, the problem is risk. That is why Finance Minister emphasized on de-risking investment. Because people want to invest, but if they invest, they don't want to, they are not sure whether their investment will grow or even will sustain because of the policies, because of the ground situations, because of the availability of labor, etc. So that is the problem which Finance Minister focused on, that de-risking of private investment. And secondly, private investors from abroad coming to BRICS countries or within BRICS countries, they face the challenge also. Also, the challenge is that there are different rules and regulations, different sets for different countries, different financial years for different countries, different investment rules in different countries. So, multiple challenges are faced by the investors. Thirdly, there should be some assurance that their investment will sustain, and that assurance cannot be given solely by the government or by the bank. There must be some other organizations, multi-banking organizations or multi-financial institutions or multi-insurance corporates who can stand here and who can guarantee, ensure the investments. Unless that is not done, things are not going to look greener, look rosier. And for that, a conscientious effort should be done within the BRICS country at the group level, not at individual level, so that things are streamlined.
So when we talk about guaranteeing investments, we're talking about the legal provision of a guarantor to any money that is borrowed to develop a project. Apart from the bankability of the project, which is really determined in terms of its cash flow, you also spoke about the commencement of the project, the completion of the project, and how important it is to de-risk that type of investment in order to attract any kind of capital investment. In this case, we're talking about private capital investment. What is it that public capital investment actually looks at in order for us to understand that if public capital is willing to invest, which is usually sovereign governments and public funds in their hands versus private capital, what is the key difference in the two and what motivates public capital to do all this vis-a-vis private capital?
Public at large has a faith in their governments that the whatever governments is funding, whatever governments are doing is for the public welfare.
And they're doing it out of borrowings and tax collections.
Yes. Whereas mostly public in developing countries is a little averse to the private funding. As you must have seen in case of India also, When a private investor or private fundraiser comes, people start saying that there must be some ulterior motive only. Of course, a private investor will have to invest because of interest or because of the profit. But it is not the profit that can be only motivator. It is not good to say that each and every investor, potential investor, is only for growing his or her money. So public confidence is lacking, which should be probably brought back if public-private partnership is implemented. Because then at least there will be a sort of trust, a sort of faith in public, in general public at large, that this project will succeed and their money will not go down.
So when you talk about the success of these projects, cash flow is very important. How important the different types of models by which a concessionaire is able to earn and then restore the ownership of the infrastructure project to the party that's actually awarding the concession, in this case, the government. Let's go back to the address by the Union Minister for Finance and Corporate Affairs, Nirmala Sitharaman. She's in the company of Central Bank Governors at Jaipur. The Central Bank, in any case, is a banker for the state, the government of the sovereign nation concerned. How do you see central banks playing such a key role here when it comes to mobilizing capital for financing development, in this case, private capital?
I think central banks in many of the BRICS plus countries, they should be a little more liberal now while allowing investment, while allowing investors to go on with their projects, and while allowing them to have their profit also guaranteed. They should be a little more liberal. So that means if you are inviting investors, you have to give them some concessions. So that liberal attitude is necessary. And more than that, all these 11 central banks, they should also join hand in formulating a common strategy so that the investments should be guaranteed. And also for development projects like financing in local currencies, why should we depend on any foreign currency for financing? If there is a project in India, if money is available, as much money as possible is available in Indian rupee, why not do that? Because that will give a sense of confidence to investors, to the public, to the government, that money is being spent or being procured in Indian rupees or in our local currency. So that is one key important point.
So apart from guaranteeing an investment, you also have the government also contributing in the form of VGF, which is viability gap funding, when you talk about public-private partnership, or PFI, which is the norm in European countries, for instance. How has India gone about its infrastructure development? We have a infra ecosystem through public capital expenditures. We have announced that in the budget. We have implemented it through our tax revenues, tax collections. We've had structural reforms in terms of our policy, in terms of the statutory law, highways, railways, ports, logistics systems, digital infrastructure, and energy networks have been created. How have we managed to do it? Is it solely out of tax collections and borrowings, including from multilateral agencies like World Bank? In this case, we're obviously talking about BRICS, but how has India done it?
No, I think India has not solely been dependent on tax collection or borrowing from international monetary, from monetary institutions. But besides this, I mean, this could have been correct 25 years back, 30 years back. But now with liberalization and with opening of economy, now 95% of sectors are open to private investment. Now even defense sector has been open to private investment. So with this, the confidence grows between the government and the investor. And then we ask corporates to come and join hands with government or do it on their own. Okay, they create money for themselves, but at least they create infrastructure. You have seen the railway platforms. Public-private partnership in railway platforms has done a wonderful job in maintenance of railways. Energy, fuel, digitization, telecommunication. When we opened it up to the investors, be it foreign investor or local investor like Adani, Ambani and others, then they created the institute, they created the infrastructure. Roads have been built, railways have been upgraded, and we are now building ships, now defense, space, and they are doing good. We have managed to overcome, not fully, but to the major part, we have managed to overcome these difficulties which go by solely public investment, especially when government doesn't have that much of money. that much of funding. If the government has funding, like in China, the government is the biggest investor. If situation is like that, okay, one can understand that public spending or public investment can be better. But if the government doesn't have that much of funds, that much of pool, then certainly it is viable to invite the private partners, like we have done. You invite private partners, you frame rules accordingly, so that they can also develop and your aimed or intended project is also completed.
So tell us about the hybrid and annuity model by which the public-private partnership is actually forged. You also have the credit enhancement mechanisms, legal structures and business models inviting private sector participation in these public-private partnerships for infrastructure development in India.
When it comes to infrastructure development, now the government of India has rules in place, which sector you can enter, which sector you cannot, how much you can do, how much you cannot do, what type of inspections or monitoring mechanism you will have to undergo. It is not the free for all that we have given you money and you develop this thing as per your sweet will. So these timely checks and balances, monitoring mechanism, quality inspection, these things, and then the outflow of capital. These are the things which government can control and government controls in order to ensure that the money, there is no currency flight and the project is also completed in time.
So tell us about, you mentioned about the targeted measures to facilitate the private sector investment. You mentioned about the freight corridors, the rail corridors, national waterways, also a coastal cargo promotion scheme. But there's also the Pradhan Mantri Gati Shakti, which is about multimodal connectivity. A lot of work has been done in logistics. How have we been successful when it comes to logistics?
Well, I can say that we have covered a great path, but we should not be satisfied only with this. We have, when it comes to road construction, number of highways, expressways have come, and that is a very happy situation. But then quality, compromise on quality. So that has to be ensured. Gati should be there. There should be the fast implementation, should be fast. It should not be unduly slow. At the same time, it should not compromise with quality. One thing. Secondly, we still need much to be done, especially in rail corridor, you see. Freight corridor, we still have to go a long way. Bullet train, we are being told that next year it will be completed, the first one. Maybe the second, third and subsequent projects will take less time, because for anything to be done for the first time, it takes unusually long time. Then communications, we have quite achieved long strides, but then there are more communication towers and more players are to be invited, to be involved in this. Defense, we have opened it for some of the subsectors of defense, but major sectors, defense aviation, these are the ones which we'll have to focus on.
Well, thank you so much, Jitendra Kumar Tripathi ji, former ambassador, for talking to us at length and in depth on the BRICS cooperation for mobilizing private capital and financing development. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on BRICS cooperation for mobilizing private capital and financing development. The participants were Jitendra Kumar Tripathi, former ambassador, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92890940044.
Spotlight.